Welcome to the Compassionate Leaders Circle podcast. For thousands of years, the sages have known that compassion is a powerful force for good. In the last two decades, compassion scholars caught up with these sages, proving that there is an ROI to building loving communities and businesses. This podcast features leaders who can teach us about the power of compassion. I am so honored today to introduce Ashley Brundage, who is the founder of an incredible organization and book entitled Empowering Differences. I get the honor of introducing lots of compassionate leaders in this podcast, but I guess I want to say buckle up. You have a lot to learn in this podcast from this amazing woman. I'm so honored to see you and have this time with you. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. And compassion is such an important step in everyone's journey. So it's like our two worlds have incredibly collided.
And I had the pleasure of perusing. I have to confess, I didn't read every word because I feel like I need to spend a week with your book because it's so rich. It's not boring at all. It's just rich of timely information. My feeling of it is it's sort of a encyclopedia for learning about differences. I really appreciate, Ashley, that you included terminology and just like so many tips and stories. And, you know, my impression of it is every leader needs to read this book. Every parent needs to read this book. Every teacher needs to read this book. But I'm, as a writer, I'm always curious. We're going to get into your story along the way, but I'm curious, like, where this idea for this masterpiece came from.
It was a culmination of close to 10 years worth of research. I had to overcome lots of obstacles like harassment, discrimination, and homelessness. And I think we'll talk about that in a couple minutes, but I had to really figure out where I fit into this world. And I held on to differences, just like every other set of one of the 7 billion different people on this planet. And I had to figure out how best to position myself. And if one thing, if you've taken one thing away from all of the change that's been prominent in our world the last 2 years, is that you know that you hold on, everyone holds on to differences. And as you think about leveraging your differences to impact change, which is of course the framework that I built, know that empowerment is always going to be one of those things that you can do that can connect to all the other things that you are actionable about in your leadership journey.
I have to say your book and your approach and your thoughtfulness just gives me hope for the future. Thank you for that. Where I want to start is the introduction that someone wrote. It's like one of the most interesting introductions to a book.
And the foreword.
The foreword. And that's the correct term. Sorry. And I would love for you to tell the story from your vantage point.
Yes.
She tells the story from her vantage point, but can you start there? Because I think that would be a nice way into who you are. And
definitely. So for those that have not yet read the book, I accidentally forced my way through ACCESS, which is one of the 10 empowering actions. I forced my way into a room where I saw the keynote speaker at a major conference was there just packing up her stuff, getting ready to leave. And I went up and introduced myself. And it was a National Speakers Hall of Fame speaker, Sally Hogshead, who was there. And she said, oh, of course we could take a picture together. So we took a picture together. And then I was honored to meet her. And I did her assessment, the Fascination Profile Advantage. And then I started reading her books, which largely actually inspired me to write a book. So there's a lot of intersections here. And then one day, well, after the event, I posted our picture together on social media and tagged her on Facebook, just like, you know, anybody else would tag somebody who was, you know, a little bit more prominent than you. That's how you build exposure and measure your own influence. And that led to her sending me a message on Facebook. And I was like, oh, well, this is some sort of like, she's probably trying to sell me leadership development curriculum or something. And it was literally her messaging me. And she said, we need to talk. And I was like, okay, what do we need to talk about? And she's like, well, you know, I looked you up and you're like the only transgender person that I know that exists in this world who I actually have access to. And I said, oh, well, then let's talk. So we set up a call and her and I jumped on the phone together. And then that led to her telling me the story of her amazing child, Asher, and how Asher saw our picture together and came out to her, and it sparked a whole domino of change. And it was just being present, being visible, putting yourself out there, breaking into a room sometimes to cause disruption is what's needed in this world. And then providing resources, and I provided resources for her, found out where she lived. I made phone calls to community centers and introduced her to advocacy organizations. We set up a call with her husband and Asher's dad and the three of them and me on a call. And we talked about what it's like to be a parent, what it's like to be engaged with a family member who is transgender or who is transitioning or who is someone on the gender spectrum. And that led to lots more conversations. And my biggest thing that I got out of this opportunity wasn't all of the other hoopla and getting to know somebody really, really great, which was fantastic, but it was the moment when my two boys had the chance to become friends with Asher and his older brother, Quentin, and the four boys got to do things together. And it was literally the first friends that Asher ever had that only knew Asher as Asher. And that like literally changed my heart for good. And it opened up this whole dialogue around how just taking a moment of, you know, forcing yourself into a room or having a dialogue or putting a picture on social media, all of these actions that you can do that can literally make an impact for people actually can make an impact.
I love that story. It's all about love and risk. And reward, really. It's like take a risk. It's not only in the stock market. You can create opportunity for yourself every day. It's a beautiful story. And your work and your thoughtfulness is beautiful. So you want to start with your four steps there. And then we're really here to learn from you. So
yeah.
Go ahead, professor.
You have to understand that empowerment requires patience. It requires steps. You can't just immediately think that you're going to automatically become an empowerment expert. Now, yes, empowerment is about power and authority. And typically, our most privileged people in society hold on to the most power and authority. That's just the way our world works. So others who don't hold on to that have to figure out ways to access that. And as a leader, if you hold on to power and authority, then you need to realize that you can make an impact for others too. So this four steps works in either direction. So whether you hold on to the power or you don't, either way, you can utilize the four steps. So step one is to do a holistic self-assessment to know yourself. So knowing yourself is step one. And as you're going through the show notes or you're participating here, you're going to get the link to the self-assessment and you can access that right from empoweringdifferences.com. Click the button that says self-assessment. That's the super easy way to do it. And unlike most assessments that are in this world, because if you look at the genesis of who typically makes assessments and look at the demographics of who makes assessments, it largely does not reflect the rest of our entire world. So if you only take assessments that are designed by certain demographics of people, you will only see things in one potential lane. My assessment is very different by nature because I wanted it to have you be the holder of the information. It's not going to go into a computerized portal. It's not going to spit out a response to you. You're going to have the open-ended questions to drive you to your comfort zone, your privilege, your empowerment of others, and then deeper about yourself. And asking these open-ended questions. So what I want you to do in this process is to save that document on your computer and date it for today's date. And then what you want to do is answer those questions over that day and then save it, right? But then think about that as you can you refer back to that to know what you thought about empowerment or how you felt you were empowered or how you've been empowering other people, because we may ask you to look at that again in the future. Oh, Laurel, what do you think about step one?
I'm going to take the assessment, but I also want to let our listeners know that your approach is for everyone. And one of the things that was a really light bulb for me in it being introduced to you and seeing your work is Ashley is a leader in the world of diversity and inclusion, and she works with everyone on that. And I feel like sometimes people feel left out of this discussion about differences, and you have created a huge tent for all of us to join in. And I just think you're brilliant. And the assessment, I just want to emphasize that this discussion is for everyone. Ashley's process is for everyone. So
yeah,
that's step one. So yes. Let's go to step two. You
really set up step two very, very well, because it is for everyone. And step two is to know others, right? And if you don't know the people who are different than you, then you're not going to really understand the importance of empowerment. And you're also not going to really understand how different people need different strategic access. Different people need different empowering actions. That's the whole process of knowing others. It's about putting in the work to really get to know people who are different than you. And if you're going to empower differences, then you need to surround yourself with those who are different than you. And that's what I did in this process, is I formed an empowerment panel of 10 experts who were experts, in my opinion, because they knew about other differences that I had pain points on. And so I have white privilege. And so I had people of different races on my 10-member empowerment panel. I speak fluently only one language. Now, I can speak a little bit of Spanish and a little bit more of French, but I wanted to have because language is definitely one of our 10 most common differences that we hold as humans. And so I have 6 different languages spoken amongst the 10 individuals. Being very purposeful around who you surround yourself with and then how you pick out knowledge from them and you learn from them and you watch and you grow. These are all this process that's built into understanding trust, intersectionality, and privilege. The P word is not a bad word. Okay. Privilege is actually a good word when used with empowerment in mind. And that will really transform how you really get to know others and how you build relationships. But do your research too. Don't burden the people who are different than you to hold all that education and be pouring it onto you. You have to put in the work. And that's what I had to do. So yes, one of my differences is the fact that I'm transgender. And you mentioned it, like, it's not empowering your differences is not a pigeonholed item for just the transgender or LGBTQ plus community. It's one of my differences. I have lots of differences, and that's my intersectionality. And understanding this process, and while I realize that knowing yourself and asking those assessment questions literally actually was a transgender superpower, because transgender people are forced to really recategorize our existence in this world, in the fact that we have to literally ask questions like, is this person still a friend? Is this person still family? Can I still shop here? Can I still go to this doctor? Can I still work here? These are all kinds of questions that literally every person across the gender expansive world ask themselves. And that's when I said, wow, you know, some of these open-ended questions actually could really be beneficial across all the differences. And that's when I put knowing others and knowing yourself together to realize that that was step two in this empowerment journey. And if you can't speak to a difference that you hold with economic power behind it, the empowerment, then you won't be able to actually empower your differences. And so you have to understand the information. So I can't identify something about myself without including empowerment with it. So I'm never just one transgender person. I'm one of an estimated 2 million transgender people in the United States, or I'm part of the $1.7 trillion buying power of the LGBT business community, which would be the 10th largest economy on its own in the world. And positioning that way is literally knowing others, but it also sets up this third step in this empowerment process, which is to develop your strategy.
Well, before we jump to that, there's a couple of things I want to circle back on, which I think are so amazing. First of all, if you're listening, you must buy Ashley's book, because there's so much about language that's going to help all of us in understanding language and understanding current language, because we used to use language that doesn't work anymore. I think the questions that transgender people go from one gender to another, and the questions you brought up, are also questions that people have when they switch political parties, right?
Yes.
Especially now.
Yeah. Chapter 8 in the book is political differences.
Yeah, and I appreciate that empowering differences is apolitical, right?
Yes.
I am not apolitical, but I just need to raise my hand and say I do need to have more guests on my podcast and interview people with different political viewpoints. And that's my challenge I'm going to give myself in the world of empowering differences.
Yay.
So I just wanted to, you know, yes, Ashley addresses politics in this book beautifully and in a very hopeful way. You're not ignoring it, but you're addressing it, right?
Yeah. Well, because empowerment obviously is about power and authority, and politics plays a large part in empowerment. And it would have been a huge miss to not at least address it in some manner to help people realize that there are always common ground elements that we can agree on.
Yeah, and I would just say that I think the hope for the future for this country and beyond, and as a globe, I really think of myself as a global citizen first and then as an American second. You know, where the world is getting smaller and smaller. understanding differences and learning and being open is so important. And you know, currently I'm teaching a class where there's 39 students, and I think we're representing 12 countries. None of them are American. So I learn about differences every day from them. So I think we'll go on to strategy, but let's go down to step three.
Yes. Develop your strategy around how you're going to empower your differences. So that means that each difference will require a different recipe of empowering actions, but a different amount of highlighting, right? And as I went through this process for myself and trying to find a career, and I had more than 40 no's, I had a door slammed in my face, I had the cops called on me from a job interview, I got trespassed from a job interview. And I realized that I needed to pour all the empowerment into my gender difference. so that that way I could come with the $1.7 trillion, right? That was me pouring empowerment into that difference. But then I got hired in the banking industry as a part-time bank teller. And while I was way overqualified to be a part-time teller, I just thought if I was an internal employee that I would be able to grow and develop my career appropriately. And I kept pouring the empowerment into my gender difference. And then it hit me and I realized that that was no longer my biggest perceived weakness. And I needed to develop my strategy to realize that going back to my assessment and digging deeper about me, what was it that made me me? And that's when I realized that my educational background now was my biggest perceived weakness. And I'm doing air quotes for those that aren't watching, but perceived weakness being what my might view as my biggest weakness. But actually, literally, that's the item that I needed to position as my biggest strength in reframing your brain through empowerment. And so having never gone to college, that was where I was mentally thinking that that was always going to be my Achilles heel as to why I wasn't able to grow in my career. And instead, I reframed it and I started to pour everything into my educational difference. So that meant seeking out additional learning opportunities. It meant seeking out certifications. It meant getting securities licenses from Series 7, 66. Like I was doing every educational opportunity that I could so I could own my educational status. And then I would also position the fact that I did not go to college as a strength. And I would say, okay, well, look, you have 10 people on your team and all of them have a college degree. How are you going to be able to understand and communicate to people who did not go to college? Because there is a whole world of people who have not gone to college. And I'm going to be able to help you communicate to those individuals because I'm one of them. And so it's all about reframing and developing a strategy for you, but also about your differences, but also a strategy around how you're going to take action and what actions you're going to do. So you need to start working on, of course, setting you up for the next step. But what is the cadence of these actions? So the way the 10 empowering actions are presented throughout the book and my workbook and my subsequent online empowerment course is they're in a specific order. They're in the order that I access them. But you have to develop a strategy around how you're going to take these actions.
I love all of that. Even as an educator and someone that maybe has too many degrees, I think we overemphasize the educational resume. And we're living in a world where you can learn anything for free. I mean, yes, you can spend money for certifications, but you know, there you have access if you have a computer, which you know is some people still don't.
And internet access,
which is also a difference. But for many, many people, you have access to so many things. And I love, when we work with people, we talk about limiting beliefs and empowering beliefs. And you just demonstrated so beautifully, you know, not having a college degree could have brought you down. And instead, you flipped it over. And it's like, okay, not having a college degree is a difference and a strength, and I'm going to leverage the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yes. I'm going to put myself in that space and I'm just going to own it. I mean, that's who I am and that's how I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's a great story. So what's step four?
Take action and take empowering actions by combining empowerment with every action that you're going to take. So obviously, action one is empower and combining empowerment is in making empowerment, right? So that means you're connecting it with other people. And when you connect these actions with other people, that's where you'll understand what the power and authority is that's being driven from your action. So a lot of them are ones that we're talking about every day, like inclusion. And if inclusion is the action that you're driving, make sure empowerment is embedded in that. And know what the power and the authority is that's being driven from your action. If access is the action that you're driving, and these are the ones that we've talked a lot about already today on this session, know what it is that you're driving, right? Know the empowerment behind the access that you're providing for others, which will then hopefully drive equity, which will ultimately drive accessibility, or it'll drive some sort of resource that someone then has power towards. And so the 10 empowering actions is a starting point. There are so many other empowering actions out there, but as you start to realize this, I have to take action. That's what I started to do. And that was literally how I was able to grow my career from part-time teller to become the national vice president of diversity and inclusion in 4.5 years. Doing that was all about taking the action, but making sure that every action that you take is measured through empowerment.
So how do you define empowerment?
I know you do because
you define everything.
Yes. So empowerment is the power and authority for which you provide to other people or potentially to yourself. Because you may have to empower yourself in order to get you ready to empower others. And it can be, it's usually some sort of metric. So the F, you remember I was speaking earlier, right? And I didn't want to just identify my diverse segment community as myself. I'm with 2 million other people. Or it's the $1.7 trillion economic buying power of the LGBT business community. So knowing that number, the economic buying power, the amount of people that you're impacting, what you're impacting, how many people you're helping to get promoted, how many people you're mentoring, if mentoring is the action that you take, how many people you educate, right? And if education is the action that you take, every action has some sort of number behind it. And the number behind it typically is the empowerment.
Fantastic. So you've been through lots of ups and downs in your life, which you can read about in your book. But I would love for you to tell the listeners out there that may be struggling with a difference or a limiting belief, like where do they start today? You know, like maybe you can go back to one of your worst days and tell us like
I mean, which cliche, right? I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, right? It sure was destroyed in one. But
I also feel like your attitude and your thoughtfulness accelerated change in your own life. And so it doesn't have to take a decade, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely frame of mind matters. I mean, that's the bottom line. Is it the above all end all? No. You know, can you not be happy and get promoted? Yes, of course. You can do anything that you obviously put your skill set towards. I'm just a big believer in kind of level setting. I think level setting and taking notes and really keeping track of where you are in this process is so important. That's why the self-assessment, and literally one of the reasons, you know, empowerment is about providing power and authority to other people, right? And so creating this an assessment like this and making it available for anyone to go ahead and download to get their first step of empowerment is why I did that. And I think the self-assessment is a really good first step in your journey. If you really want to have a different frame of mind or look at things a little bit differently, you need to start taking down those notes. And you can do it digitally, right on your phone. You could print it and do old school. You could buy the workbook and then the assessments in the workbook. But you know, you do have to put the work in. You have to take that time, and the time, right, is obviously a measured outcome, or a measured output, right? It's something that you have that is a limited resource. And you have to understand that anytime that you're making it, this is why invest is one of the 10 empowering actions, because as you start to realize the investment in yourself matters in this empowerment journey. So I think that that also ties to this, but you really have to have patience too. And I think that this is where your framework really helps around compassion and empathy also is important in this process. And patience, right? I mean, like literally you are not going to make all of these changes happen at once, but just take small steps that you know that you can literally see the difference.
I love that you have a workbook. I love workbooks. So you have a book now and a workbook.
Yes.
Tell me what your vision for the future, if we know that Empowering Differences, your work is going to grow and it's going to get to more people through your, what is your hope for the world
in
this work?
That more people use empowerment as a foundational step before they jump on this DEI bandwagon. And I think it's a bandwagon because so many people, and everybody's saying, calling it DEI or Jedi or I've seen a lot of other acronyms out there around how you access belonging and equity, right? So as you're thinking about making those changes, if you have empowerment in mind first, then, and you teach people about empowerment, then they'll be able to drive diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, access, leadership, all of those things will happen then. So that's where I'm hoping to see this grow. And I think that what I've built around the framework for the empowering actions and through my research, I found that the 10 most common differences that we hold as humans all prioritize the 10 empowering actions differently. And so what I have built is an entire framework of training that helps organizations really center around how they can leverage differences to impact change through these actions and through empowerment. And it's important to know that everyone, right, has a difference and everyone navigates this on their own journey, and how you utilize resources in your journey is important, and make sure the resources reflect from differing communities.
So I'm going to shift a little bit here, knowing that your work can transform organizations. What would a dream in Empowering Differences consultation contract look like? Like, would you work with everyone? I mean, what's the dream?
Yeah. So for me, I definitely want to work with organizations that share the same value and mission that I have. Let's not kid ourselves. There are evil organizations out there, sadly, that don't share values and vision and mission. So that is just as important as this work. And to make it empowering, if you don't actually practice or embrace empowerment as an organization, then this might not be a path for you, or you might not be ready for that yet. Everyone's on their own unique journey. So for me, I'd probably say an organization that really wants their employees to feel empowered. And I build an online course that helps them engage with that, to take the action that's necessary to help them prioritize the actions. My online course actually comes with 6 hours of video content, a professional development plan, outlines, and up to 40 hours of course rating, so they can actually have that for any accreditations or certifications that they hold. My thought in building such a LMS was really to help take those organizations to the next level.
I appreciate all of that. Like, you're not ready to go Well, I, of course, my vision is like you need to go to every political organization, government organization. That's too much. But I think starting where they'll meet you is fantastic. And I think a lot of organizations have been struggling with making real change that have their hearts in the right place. And I know you can help them.
Yeah, well, we have to connect to their individual employees because that's where the real change lives. It lives in each person. Yeah. So, I think that that's really important. And as you're on this journey, right? I mean, though it is a journey. And honestly, to tell you the truth, one of my most favorite things is the accidental or unintended consequence of the fact that then they get transgender inclusion in the fact that I'm the leadership expert, I'm the empowerment expert. And it's not potentially someone that people are going to be expecting to see who is sharing this type of message. So it literally is also reframing someone's brain around their expectations of leadership and empowerment.
It's icing on the cake.
Right? Really good. Yes.
Well, I love what you're up to. I love spending time with you. I think you gave us a, you know, primer into the richness that is you and your book. And I also have to say, I'm just so impressed with the amount of research and resources you have, you share generously. So everyone, please go to Ashley's website, which is
empoweringdifferences.com.
She also speaks. I'm sure your events are on your website.
Yes.
and she's so dynamic and wonderful. One of the things we wanted to share with you as part of this podcast is I've nominated you as a Compassionate Leader Circle nominee for the year. So we have an annual Compassionate Leaders Circle Awards that we started last year. And all of our nominees, of course, are winners, but we'll have a what we call representatives representing different sectors of the economy coming together for that in January. So we'll let you know about that. But you're a very special nominee.
Thank you.
Congrats. We can add that. She has a very long resume with a lot of awards. So just thought we'd throw that in.
I'll take every single one counts. I
appreciate you as a compassion warrior and as a collaborator and as a new friend. So thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was a great honor. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Thank you. And I'm so, so honored to have been here.
Thanks for listening to the Compassionate Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at CompassionateLeadersCircle.com. Please join us each week as we shine a light on compassionate leaders making a positive impact on their communities and the world.